Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. We're so encouraged that you are joining us here today. We have so many interesting things, God's news, behind the news, wisdom moments, and all those wonderful humor moments. Join us, VFN Radio's Extra Hour. Listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged that you have joined us, and you will be encouraged too. VFN Radio, join us in a few. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining with me today is Pat and Chris. And we just ended the first hour. We're talking in the first hour about God's love, how God's stuck on you. You know, God is stuck on you. Mm-hmm. And what shall separate you from the love of Christ? And we talked about not hardships or troubles or persecutions or famines or nakedness. And the Word of God goes on in Romans 8:37 to say a long list of, you know, neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present or the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate you from the love of God. But there's two things that are not on this list. You know, God's love is not ever going to be apart from you. His heart is not going to stop being turned to you, but you can turn yourself away from God and sin.
Yeah.
And sin. Because you know what? We mentioned this at the end, you know, that just like a parent loves a child, you love your child. You'll love your child all their lives. Mm-hmm. I mean, the love of the parent has for a child is just amazing. But yet and still, your child can choose to turn away and reject that love. But their rejection of that love doesn't stop the parent's love. No, the parent's going to continue to love no matter what. Good parent, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But a child can turn away and reject the love of God. They can put things in between. They can reject, the child can reject the parent's love, and we can reject God's love. And we saw that happen with the rich young ruler. He just simply walked off, mm-hmm, and said, I'm out.
Yeah, it's too hard for him.
Too hard for him. I want to tell you today that God is stuck on you. He loves you. The question is, are you stuck on God? Mm-hmm. And get everything and anything out of your life that would hinder love. You know, God has determined the exact time and place that we should live, mm-hmm, that we would reach out to him, even though he is not far, right? Yeah. He loves us. He loves us. And his desire is that you would respond to his love. Don't waste another minute. Don't allow another thing to come in between of his amazing love. And if you haven't made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life, I'm not talking about knowing about him and of him and whether you've been to a church meeting or a fellowship and your grandmother knows God and you know of God and you went to Bible study as a child. And no, do you?
Yeah.
Do you personally know him? Do you abide with him? Is he your Savior and the Lord? The master, the ruler, the one in charge of your life, that every decision filters through Jesus Christ and who he is. Let me tell you, there's nothing more beautiful than to know him. And you can know him. You have to open yourself up. You have to accept him into your heart and be willing to leave a life of sin and experience his love in a way that will literally rock your world.
Yeah.
Make that decision today. A few of us wrote our stories on how we encountered his love, where we received him into our hearts. And you can read some of our stories. You don't write everything, but you can read a good about them on meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. But in this extra hour, we do want to share two really powerful segments with you. You know, Jesus' last words to his disciples before he ascended, right? His last words, famous last words, right, was to go into all the world, right, and preach the good news. To make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Anything that we do that is not centered around what Jesus told us to do, I think we got to get out. And the commission that God's given us is the chief thing. We are to make disciples, and we really have to evaluate. We're talking about rethinking church. Is that really being done today in the church at large? It's, sure, some are. We are. Some are. Others are. But is that happening on the large spectrum of who the church is, the body of Christ? We're going to play an amazing segment for you entitled Consumer Christianity. And Ryan Wyatt really shares just a powerful brief word with us that really gets us to look at what is happening. What is happening? And are we, and his quest is to truly answer the questions, are we truly raising up disciples? True disciples of Jesus Christ. That's so important. And then right after that, we're going to listen to Placebo Gospel, because this goes hand in hand. This goes hand in hand. And this is Howard Pittman's testimony. This was a man who was a deputy, was a deputy who was planning to run for sheriff. He pastored a church and had a heart attack one night. Had a heart attack. And he's lying on the operating table. And he was taken to heaven by an angel. And once he was in heaven and realized that what he was doing was all wrong, that he was preaching a placebo gospel, he had an encounter that shook religion and everything right off of him. I mean, and he came back in blazing glory.
Yeah.
I mean, he came back blazing glory. And did what God told him to do. He didn't share religion. He shared the gospel, the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen up and be encouraged. We believe this is the word of the hour, and we need to get this on the inside of us.
In fact, I was so excited to see that, and I can mention this publicly because they've announced it and released a book about it. But Bill Hybels, you know, one of the pastor of Willow Creek Church, they have a network of hundreds, thousands of churches, tens of thousands of people involved, and they've been, you know, somewhat of the pioneers of visitor friendly or seeker friendly church. A year ago, they were going to put all their millions of dollars into their programs that they do every year. And they decided they were going to ask themselves the question, are our programs really doing what we think we want them to do? Are they really raising up true disciples of Jesus Christ? And so they put money into actually a study and all throughout their entire network of where people are at with this. And when they brought the report into Bill Hybels, he gave the report that they brought it into him in his office, and he hung his head and began to weep. Because they found that all it's done is gotten people in the building, but it's not created true disciples. And so they've now released a book, I think it's called Reveal Now or Reveal Where Are You, and it's based on the study that they did throughout their network on asking people questions about where they are in their relationship with God. And they said that what the programs have done is raised up people that are addicted to the programs. In other words, the only way they can find God is to have the program. And so people now will even pick the church they go to as like they would pick a pair of clothing when they go to the mall. They're going shopping. Do they have this? Do they have this? Do they have this? Do they have this? Instead of where they're called. Jesus was the opposite of seeker-friendly. I mean, Jesus went to his big group of disciples and said, guess what, guys? You know, you're going to eat my flesh. You're going to drink my blood. You know, what do you think about that? And a bunch of them said, you know, this is a really hard saying, and they left. And he looked at the other guys and said, you want to leave too? He was anything but seeker sensitive. But there is a remnant of people that are beginning to cry out for the glory of God. And when they begin to cry out for the glory of God, and the glory of God begins to come, it's going to begin to bring division in the midst of this organizational monster that we call the church. But the real church will begin to rise out of it. And I'm not saying this because we get a negative attitude towards the people that we think aren't going after God. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when the glory of God comes, it begins to capture the people that are really after His heart. I want to read this to you. It's called, I'm a Consumer. I'm a consumer. Nothing wrong with that. I like nice things, shiny things, techy things, tasty things, dark beers with a rich foam head. Then I mention, I'm a consumer. So you want me in your church? Here's how to get me. Parking. I need lots of space for my big SUV. And it better be close to the doors. I don't want to do much walking. So if it isn't, how about a shuttle? Nice building. This is important. I'm not interested in some strip mall church that looks like it's struggling, or an old traditional church unless you've done millions in renos. I'm an upwardly modeled semi-professional, and I want my surroundings to reflect my importance. Proper HVAC. This isn't important. It's critical. I want to be cool when it's warm and warm when it's cool. 68 degrees Fahrenheit to 72 degrees Fahrenheit year round. Is that too much to ask? Comfy chairs. And when I say chairs, I mean chairs. Preferably theater style, with wide armrests. Give me some space for my girth and safe distance from the other arriving consumers. Be punctual. I've already spent too much time getting me and the family ready and there for the meeting. Begin it on time. Have something cool playing on the big screens to entertain if we arrive a little early. You've got an hour. Make good use of it. I want to be in and out in no more than 75 minutes. Maybe a few more if you're serving decent coffee. Decent coffee that's free, of course. Music. Three songs up front, one fast to get us going, one mid-tempo to help us be reflective. End with a fast one that tells us how much Jesus, God, the Spirit loves us. Just please know Jesus is my boyfriend songs, okay? Announcements. Get them over after the music. Present them on your big screen so they can be done quickly. This isn't a time to stick your B team on the platform to give them some FaceTime. And unless Larry David is writing for you, avoid humor. Have the Final Cut folk edit your marketing stuff down to 15-second bites. If it works for Sony, it'll work for you. Offering. Now, it's up to you where you put it. If the preacher is great, after the sermon might work better. If not, go for the money after the announcements. Maybe show some shots of starving third world kids in the last announcement. Heartstring tugs work for compassion and world vision. Why not your church? God loves a cheerful giver, and the Malachi 3 verses and the 100-fold blessing are important reminders. A good story of how tithing worked for someone would be great. No more than 90 seconds, though. Sermon, 20 minutes. Then I make myself clear, 20 minutes, 20, 20. We have the attention spans of gnats. Keep that in mind. Make it practical. If I wanted systematic theology, I would have gone to seminary. Use humor. Steal from the best if necessary. I want to leave feeling built up, and it's a bonus if I can use your jokes and stories that you told at work tomorrow. Final song. Let the band rip on the last song. Feel good, happy, clappy works here. If you want us wanting to come back for more next week. Benediction. Let the band lay back and under as you bless us. Speak multiplied blessings over us, and then do a fast pitch for whatever product you need to sell. And I did say fast pitch. And then the band amps back up. This is the place for guitar or sax solos as we head out the doors to the shuttle bus or the bookstore or the free coffee. It's okay to charge us something extra for lattes. Like I said, I'm a consumer. Oh, and a sort of a Christian. If you build this, I will come. Or so you've been told.
Understand this, that when you go with God, you're going to go against the grain. You know, wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many go that way, but narrow is the road that leads to eternal life.
and few that find it. And understand this, that do you want to go on the wide road or do you want to go on the narrow road? Listen, God wants everybody to be on the narrow road.
That's right.
But it's Jesus saying that. Mm-hmm. You know, Howard Pittman wrote his book, The Placebo Gospel. You know, and I don't know how much time we have, but right, coming to this. I want to share this. You had a moment? Can I share this with you?
Yeah.
Howard Pittman, he wrote this book, and we want to share with you, you know, things that we've experienced so that you can just hear it. I can just download it to you right now, and you can hear it. So you can read it. It's Howard Pittman's Placebo Gospel. And in this, he was a sheriff. He was an officer, and he just started a ministry, pastoring a church for about maybe 2 or 3 years. You know, these are all variations. The exactness of these things, and that he decided that he felt like he was supposed to run for sheriff. You know, and so he's serving God. He's pastoring a church, John, a traditional church. It's a building. He's showing up. He's pastoring it. And so he feels like, you know, this is what I'm doing for God, you know, and then he feels supposed to run for sheriff as well. So he's out running, to a particular supporter, and he's going to stop by their house because they're going to give him support for his office or something. And then all of a sudden he has a heart attack. I think about the James 4:15. Somebody says, "What time is it?" We always go, "It's always 4:15," which means my plans are subject to change anytime God wants them to. He says, "A man should always say, if it's in God's will, this is what I'll do." And what happened was Howard Pittman had a heart attack, and next thing he's on the operating table, and he leaves his body, and he dies on the operating table, and he goes. An angel comes and escorts him to heaven, and he's literally watching this whole transaction of people that have been saved, that have died, that are going to the throne room of God. And he looks over at a certain number of people, and it's just like maybe 100 people or so that are going to the throne room of God. And he goes, "What are those people over there?" And the angel goes, "These are people that were saved." And he goes, "That's wonderful." And he goes, "No," he says something like, "2,700 just died."
Wow.
You know, and the numbers, I'm pulling the numbers, you know, and you can verify this with the book, the exact numbers, but it was just a horrendous difference of those who, and you understand, they died too, but they did not go to heaven, they went to hell. Mm-hmm. And so it was just rocking his paradigms, you know, and he's like, "Oh," and he says, "So can I go with them to go to the throne room?" And the angels tell him, no, not for that. And so he brings them to a throne room outside of a doorway of God's throne room, if you would, like just a doorway kind of thing. And he is standing to the side. The angel kind of put him to the side. He didn't see God. And he knows, he feels like he's about to see God. He's going to talk to God. And so he has this whole list. He's literally got a paper list that he's writing or wrote. And he's going to explain to God. He's going to explain to God why he needs the run for sheriff. It's like, dude, you're in heaven, man. Why would you want to go back and run for sheriff? Come on. And so he's got this whole list of explaining to God why he feels he needs to go back to be able to do what he feels he's called to do. I mean, you're God telling God what God's called you to do, right? That's something. And so all of a sudden, as he's tucked away, hidden behind this door threshold thing, and you know, he can't see God, he just knows God's behind that thing, and all of a sudden, imagine every single storm you ever heard at the very same time, just like, just imagine this huge sound. It's just, and it was the voice of God. And he says in his book, he's writing, he says, "And I dropped my list." What happened was that he realized that he had totally done it all wrong. He had done it all wrong. Even though he was a minister, even though he was a preacher, even though he had a church, he was all wrong. And he realized at some point, and so he heard this big sternness of God's voice that came out that just totally crushed him. And the concepts of all of his ideas and concepts. And as he began to humble himself, And then the other kindness part of God began to relate to him and comfort him. So it had the kindness and the sternness of a father. And it just whole encounter and his whole paradigm just instantly just shook. And all this religion is thrown out. And let me tell you right now, if you're listening and you're all caught up in the religion, just walk away from religion. Listen, you could be standing there like Howard was, and with all this religion in your pocket, and have to drop it down, and it meant nothing to God, you know. And it's about doing what God says to do in the right way. And so he realizes that when God, he comes back into his body, you know, I'm actually doing this quickly, but it's Howard Pittman's book, the Placebo Gospel. And a placebo, let me explain what a placebo is for those that might not know what a placebo is. If they're going to have a new medication, they're going to try it out, and they're going to see if it works or not. They'll take 10 subjects, for example, or say 100 subjects, and 50 of them they will give the new medication to, and 50 of them they'll give like a sugar pill to, something that's nothing. And it's called the placebo. And then they'll measure the results of what happens to these individuals. And, of course, the placebo is nothing. But they're trying to find out, if I give them the medicine, the other 50 the medicine, will they be any different than the people who had the placebo? And they can measure that way whether this medicine works or not. And sometimes they find out that the placebo has some things that take place, but it doesn't do the job, you know. And the book's called The Placebo Gospel. And there's a gospel being preached that it's a placebo gospel. There's nothing there. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing there. And it's been done so well, and it looks like the pill, and it sounds like the pill of the gospel, but it's not the right one, because there's no doing involved in the aspect of it. You know, be a doer of the word, not just a hearer of the word. And so Jesus called them to himself, then he sent them out from him. And then he said, go and do likewise. And so, you know, with that, he makes it back, you know, to his body, and he's so sorrowful for all of his life to that point. And he basically, I believe he reasoned with the Lord of saying that, if you just give me a little bit more time, I'll make this right. And so he goes back. When he comes back to his body, he spends the rest of his life traveling the world, telling everybody about the true Jesus, the true God, the kindness and the sternness of God, that it's not some religious whatever. It's not trying to please men. It's pleasing God, that it's an intimate relationship. Truly, there's an intimate relationship with the creator of the universe. You know, this is the reason why we call him holy and righteous and mighty, and that, you know, understanding that, that he preached this all over the world, and so many people had come to know God. He left all that religion behind, and he got it, and God gave him mercy to come back to do things right. And so I just want to encourage you that repentance, when we were talking about that in the first hour, and we're talking about it even in this extra hour today, that understanding this journey is you got to change everything. You got to change everything, and you got to want to do it. And understanding that you want to do it is because you want to be with Jesus. You find out he loves you. You know, it was real tough when he heard the sternness of God, but he melted when the kindness of God began to comfort him. You know, for example, if you have a child that you have to spank, that child is the last thing you want to do, or discipline that child. But after you finish disciplining them, then you comfort them, and it helps the child understand what's really going on. You know, and that's what God was doing to him, the kindness and the sternness of God. And so in that, he talks about the statistics of Jesus. You know, you study the statistics of Jesus and the message that he preached, because you think about it, that was Jesus was by himself when he first started. You know, the Father was with him. And then he progressively was with 12, correct?
Right.
And he trained these 12 up. He related to these 12. He spent time with these 12. And he just walked day-to-day life with them. And then he sent them out like sheep amongst wolves, mind you. That's dangerous out there. Yep, wolves, eh? It's like wolves. And so then he sends them out, and then they come back to him, and they report about what they have done. You know what I'm saying? What happened, you know? And then he goes from the 12, and then he goes to 72, and he sends the 72 out after being with them. And then at the end, when he is with the Father, and he says, I want you to go and tarry, there was 120 in the upper room. Think about it. 120 was in the upper room at that point. I mean, thousands of people were interested in Jesus. People were receiving from Jesus. People were getting healed and people getting delivered and people getting fed that were hungry. But when Jesus turns around, he says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part of me. Everybody except the disciples started leaving. These are people that he healed, that he delivered, that he provided for. He's so loving and he's so kind. But it boils down, you got to know him. You got to know this Jesus, you know, and he loves you, but you can't, it's, don't buy into religion. There's religion, you can have religion. There's so much religion all over the world. And what's happening right now, religion is coming to a crescendo across the earth, and you're going to see religious battles go on. But you understand that it's not about religion with Jesus. It's about a relationship, and it's about a family. You know, God, the Father God wanted a family, so he sowed a son. And families have fathers and mothers, and we're sisters and brothers, and we're supposed to lay down our life for each other and live our life together. And people are supposed to fear coming amongst our number, and there should be a difference. You know, there's one thing we have about, you know, talking about some of our gatherings, that we see people that come in with wrong tensions, wrong motives to come amongst us. But we don't have to worry about that because we see what God does. I mean, we literally had somebody that came, and they were coming with wrong intentions to be able to harm somebody that was in one of the gatherings, and just like you read in the book of Acts, that all of a sudden they begin to choke, they begin to get, and for literally for almost, they had to leave. They literally just left. They could not stay in the presence of God. And the only thing the church was doing was just raising their hand and worshiping God and just nothing, no hype or nothing. But God's presence was so strong that God dealt with whatever he needed to deal. He knew the motives of people's hearts. And that person today, we understand now, is serving the Lord. Is that not awesome?
Wow, totally awesome.
Totally amazing. Awesome. I think about another situation. This is how the church is supposed, this is how the fullness of how we're supposed to be. I mean, you read the book of Acts, it's not a history book, it's an operation manual. But we're sitting, we're at a gathering, a VFM family gathering, and we're eating. We always eat when we come together. I mean, just like you read in the Word. And so a particular visitor comes that particular day, maybe a couple of visitors, I don't know. But this one was actually a leader in a kind of a traditional church setting. He's actually over the young people. He was over the young people. He said he was over the young people in that particular church. And so church gathering. And so he begins to tell us, and we're just eating and loving on them and all the different things. Everybody's having a great time. And we begin to worship God. And he actually even tells us that we're doing that wrong. Remember that? And so, you know, you don't have to impress anybody. Listen, when you're in the church, you don't care what people say. You know, it really doesn't, you know, you love them, but you're not defining yourself. He's like, really? Because if you walk with God and you see him in your life and you know that he's real and you know that you abide with him on a daily basis or spend time with him, you know, on a regular basis, that you're not concerned about all the other stuff. And so he immediately goes from explaining to us and, you know, how worship was supposed to be done, and God's presence just enveloped the place. It totally just enveloped the place. And we're just, you know, just worshiping God, you know, and he begins to cry out and just weep and just cries out in front of all of us, and tears start pouring down his face. This is the one that was telling us, the person who's over the youth at a particular, and he starts crying out. He says, I've sinned. I'm a sinner. I have sinned. Is this not right? Did that?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm a sinner. And they begin to cry out. And immediately there was a couple men there that walked over with him, where everybody continued to worship. And they actually led him to a place of repentance and forgiveness. And his whole life, he was just totally freed in that one moment. Let me tell you something. Listen, there's a lot of religion going on, but not a lot of relationship. God wants you in a relationship. But really, it's because repentance is, like I said, you have to want to do it. But when you understand God's not religious, that he's relational, and things like this, you know, this is pretty cool when you find out that all this stuff really happens, and people that are sick get healed, and people who are bound are delivered. And there's one of the situations going on. I want to talk about this. You know, talking about VFN TV. You know, you can actually subscribe for free to VFN TV. You have access to it. There's a few things that you can get right now on your app or at VFNTV.com, but you're a free subscriber. You have access to everything. But one of the particular things that you'll find in VFN TV teaching is called Deliverance from the Evil One. I mean, you think about it. You know, Jesus tells us how to pray. He says, teach us how to pray. And he's talking to the disciples, and he says, you know, of course, the Lord's Prayer that we talk about. At the end of the Lord's Prayer, he tells us to ask God to deliver us from the evil one. So he asks us to ask God to deliver us from the evil one. And so and we talk about empty houses and open doors, and you can get that if you want to subscribe to VFNTV.com. But the anointing of God, this teaching was going forth through VFNTV broadcasting around the world, America at that time. And in one part of that, when I'm talking about, come out, speak into the demonic. And I remember we were actually in a meeting, and somebody and you just grabbed somebody off the street and just brought them in without even considering the church, the sheep, and just brought in this whole bad situation into the church, which is in a whole another we didn't talk about in the future, is that they didn't want to be there, and they were carrying the things in the world on them, and that doesn't clash well when you have the presence of God there. So one particular man, he was actually fell asleep in the middle of the teaching on VFN TV, and everybody that's there is actually listening to what's going on, what's happening, is this word's coming forth. And all of a sudden, right there in the middle of that, when this guy's laying on his right arm, he's spread out in front of the church. And is this true?
Yes.
And he's all spread out, sleeping in front of everybody. All of a sudden, I point at that, out of that television, I'm pointing at the cameras. I'm so anointed what God is doing. He does this in his church everywhere. But we're telling you what's happening at the event. And I just say, come out of him in Jesus' name. And immediately, he went from a dead sleep. He sat straight up, and that demon left that man.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Sure did.
Yeah, I remember the particular lady that was sitting right beside her hair shot straight up on her arm as she slid across the room. That understanding that this you understand, listen, you don't need fictitious things. You don't need bungee jumping. You just need Jesus. There's nothing more adventurous than to live for God and what's taking place. This is an adventure and all the things happen. There's people that are religious that just love, for some reason, they like being religious, but they don't want to follow God's ways. So it's just real weird. You got those things going on. But you have, in the core of that, you have people who actually want to follow God. They love Jesus, and they want to walk with him. And Jesus said, wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many go that way, but narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, and few that find it. And so you think about that you'll want to walk with a God that when you read about him and you experience him, that everything he says he is, then you want to have that authentic, genuine relationship with him. There is just nothing, nothing like it. We'll be right back at this break. Quite often, we're looking and we're searching, we're trying to find out, maybe this will actually make me feel better. Maybe this job will fix me. Maybe this relationship will fix me. Maybe money will fix me. Maybe education will fix me. Maybe medication will fix me. I don't know what it is, but something we're always trying to, we don't consciously say, hey, I need a fix. We don't consciously say, I have a hole in my heart and I'm trying to fill it. But the truth is, if we really studied it, if we really thought it through, the truth is that we have a hole in our heart and we're trying to fill it and nothing's working. And I'm going to tell you something, that journey that you went on, that you went to relationship after relationship, you went to job after job, you went after money, you went after fame, whatever it is, and it leaves you not only dry, but it leaves you shameful. It leaves you like, I'm not worth anything now. But let me tell you something, that was nothing but a distraction, that our God, through his son Jesus Christ, can actually cleanse you from all that. Don't worry about it. It's only religious people who will tell you that God won't accept you. That's the Pharisees. That's the whole reason why Jesus came for us. You've got to meet God through his son Jesus Christ. There's nothing more powerful. As a matter of fact, we shared a few of our stories at meetmyfather.org. We've shared a couple of them just to find out so you can get the different perspectives of how, the people that God saves. Paul said this. He said, the reason why God saved me is because I was the chiefest of sinners, and by looking at me, you can see how big his grace is. There's enough grace for you. You've got to meet my Father. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Oh, my goodness. John, have you been listening to the daily VFN radio program?
I have.
Oh, man. Such good content. Hey, are you on Facebook?
Of course.
Wow. You've got to check out the VFN TV page on Facebook.com. And if you haven't, check it out. You can go on Facebook.com /VFNTV. You know, when you're listening to the radio program and you're listening to a segment that's just, you know, speaking to you, and you know that, you know, there's friends that's really going to encourage them, you can click share. And those friends who are all your friends who you're connected with on Facebook, they'll immediately get what you share.
Wow, that's awesome. It's a great way to continue to spread the word, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah. Check it out. Facebook.com/VFNTV.
Well, you know, I do want to say this morning to encourage you that VFNTV 3.0 app has arrived. We have all the new arrangements and conditions, and you already like it. It's got the, when you turn on your or open your VFNTV 3.0 app, you're going to have the recent broadcast will come right up. Anything that's happened on VFNTV, VFN Radio recently, right then. So you don't have to look for anything. I mean, what just happened will be right there in front of you. And then at the top, you have recent in the menu, but you also have series.
Mm-hmm.
And series, you just touch it, and it carries you over to the different series, like the highlights, which also original intent and wisdom moments and
prophetic words.
And those are series that it has right there. And then you have alphabetized next to it, which helps you if you're just looking for something. Hey, I remember that thing about the prodigal, and you could just choose alphabetized. But then at the bottom, you can choose live, like a lot of you listen right now live, and that's available for you. You got to check it out. You know, if you haven't yet downloaded the VFN TV app or seen your upgrade yet, go to your iTunes store, go to your Google Play store, and type in VFN TV. It's V Victor FN TV, and you download the VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program app, and it's free. It's there for you to be able to encourage you. You're going to need an encouraging voice. You're going to need words of wisdom. We need to build our relationship now so we're understanding each other, and we can trust each other and realize that we're in this for the right reason, capital R, Jesus Christ, and for the advancement of the king as his kingdom and the safety of his people.
You know, John, I think back on, you know, when I was just going to tradition, and I felt like I was just going through the motions. I just go spend an hour and then just continue on in my day like I was continually doing. When I met the VFN family and God encountered me, I wanted to tell everybody. And it seemed that I really didn't know how to express it and make it understandable. And we have the Vine Seminar to be able to share with others what God is doing by being the church, just being healthy family centered around Jesus. You know, if you're interested and you want to find out more, go to vineseminars.org and read about it. See what God is doing. And if this feels connected to you and you feel like there's something more and that you're searching for God, find out more at vineseminars.org.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me in the extra hour is Pat and Chris. And you know, guys, I was thinking and meditating that Jesus is coming back.
Yes.
Jesus is coming back.
Yes, he is.
And we can be so focused on this life that we're missing the life that is to come. And in Matthew 24:30, it says that at that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and with great glory. I mean, he's coming back. And many today are living like he doesn't even exist, and surely not like he's going to come back.
Right.
But he is coming. He is coming. And this is, you know, Peter tells us in 2 Peter that in the last days in which we're living, that there's people that are still not going to believe. There's people that are going to scoff. Listen to what 1 Peter says. Peter says in 2 Peter 3, he says, first of all, you must understand that in the last days, we're living in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. And scoffing is a joking, a jeering, a ridicule, trying to make believers a laughing stock. Oh, Jesus is coming? Really? Mm-hmm. Following their own evil desire. And listen to this. They will say, where is his coming? He promised. Where is his coming? He promised. And the word goes on to say, ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forgot that long ago by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters, also the world at that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. And so we're living in the last days. And Peter tells us that in the last days, there are going to be scoffers. There are going to be people jeering. There's going to be people. And the question to me is, why would us as believers, why would we be surprised at this? I mean, the word tells us that the student is not above their master. That, my goodness, did they not mock Jesus?
Yeah.
Did they not mock Jesus? You call yourself the King of the Jews, like putting a crown on his head. That was a mocking. The robe that they put on him, that was a mocking. When Herod tries to call him on over and he goes to see Herod tried to treat him like he was a performance act. That didn't sway Jesus. He wasn't swayed by the foolishness of men. Mm-mm. He wasn't swayed. He didn't feel he had to put his foot down and tell them who they were. Mm-hmm. He just simply was. He just simply was. Jesus is coming back. I mean, and we have to be ready. But that also tells us, you know, the word is, it also shares with us, what's it going to be like when he does come back? I mean, you know, what does that look like? And when is he going to come back? You can't let scoffers influence you. You can't let scoffers shake you up. You have to stand firm in God's word. And you got to know God's word. That's why you have to abide. You got to spend time with Jesus. You got to know.
Yeah.
You got to know the time and the seasons that we live in. You got to know your God. So in Luke 17, in Luke 17, 24, this is what the word says. For the Son of Man in his day will be like the lightning which flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other. It's going to be lightning quick, okay? Yeah. It's going to be lightning quick. But what is going to be happening in our lives during that time? What's it going to be like? People are like, well, shouldn't we know? You hear all this talk about end times, and then when they had the Mayan calendar, and people are looking for this, you know, major thing to occur. It's happening already.
Yeah.
The earth is in birth pangs. You know, it's expanding, it's contracting. There's things happening right now. But you have to open your eyes so that you can see. Well, the first thing we find out in verse 26, that just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. So what was going on in the days of Noah? People were eating, drinking, marrying, being given in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark. Up to the day, these folks were carrying on like there was not a concern in the world.
Yeah.
They're going to parties. They're doing all kinds of stuff. They're living life,
yeah,
so to speak. Mm-hmm. Not knowing that the life that they were living was shortly coming to an end. Mm. And up until the day that Noah entered the ark, then the flood came and destroyed them all. So they had no concern. They weren't looking to what God was doing. They weren't perceptive. They didn't respond. And there's so many people right now just like Noah. I mean, Noah was preaching a gospel, full demonstration. I think that this large ark, this monstrosity of a boat, and they tend to ignore what God was doing. It goes to show you that, you know, you can share and you can preach all day long, but people have to respond. You have to be engaged. You got to respond to God. God's not going to move outside of your will. And so he's building a boat and they're just carrying on with life. That's happening today.
Yeah.
That's happening today. We go on a little further, and in verse 28, we get yet another example. What's it going to be like? It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking and buying and selling and planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. I mean, think about it. In both occurrences, you have God who spoke to Moses, God who, you know, through his messenger spoke to Lot, prepared them for what God was getting ready to do.
That was Noah.
Oh, I'm sorry, Noah, said Moses. Noah, thank you.
Nah.
Noah. And both of them, they responded. Mm-hmm. And the people they were ministered to responded. And others didn't. And the thing about this that we have to be aware of is that, you know, if we're saved and we have an abiding relationship with the Lord, we can't be content to say, okay, well, at least I've got an ark. I'm ready to go. You know, God has a place for me. We got to be concerned with those that are going to be left behind. Like lightning, Jesus is coming back, and when it's done, it's done. And we have to make sure that we're prepared, and we want to make sure that others are going to be prepared to go too.
Right.
Because he is coming back. And I love how Peter continues in 2 Peter to share. But this is what he says in verse 8. He says, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. Don't forget this. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. Don't think because things are not happening 1, 2, 3 that, you know, oh, God, yeah, I'm going to start scoffing. Mm-hmm. You know, are we still in the last days? I think I'm going to agree with the scoffers. Right? He says, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. I mean, think about it. All this time, why do we have this time? From the time there's a promise, then we have the time to the fulfillment of the promise. Why do we have this time? So that we can get as many people as we can in the ark. So that we can get as many people as we can to leave Sodom. Because Jesus is coming. Will we be ready? And this is the question. This is the question that Peter proposes, which it's, I mean, relevant today. He says, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? I mean, we know that this is coming. We know that this has happened. Not only has God told us in his word, but he is prophetically telling us today. So what type of people should you, y'all ought to be there, right? And listen, he says you ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed his coming. The people that we ought to be are holy people, a godly people, a people set apart that loves God, that worships God, that obeys God, that abides with God, and are holy like he is holy, separated totally unto him, not chillaxing and waiting for the boat to arrive, right? Yeah. Not waiting for the ark to come, but speeding the day of his coming by warning and getting everyone ready. I think about that song, People Get Ready.
Yeah.
Jesus is coming. You know, people say, well, when the rapture, pre-trip, listen, he can come for you tonight.
That's right.
You know, today.
Anybody can be raptured in a moment.
Come on now. Hmm. And if you think that any day you can't be gone, let's remember about the man a few days ago in Florida. The earth swallowed him up, not under his house, under his living room, in the kitchen, under his bed. Mm. His bed, that when we first reported that and shared that story, it was a 20-foot diameter hole 30 feet down. Later, as the time went on, that hole went down 100 feet. His brother, who was in the house, heard like a car crash, mm-hmm. and they ran into the back of that room only to find that there's a hole in the room here, and all they could hear was screaming, and see it was a mattress. Mm. At any moment you can go. You just want to make sure that you're ready.
Yeah.
That you're ready. Let me tell you, Jesus is coming back for his church. He's coming back for his bride. And he's coming for a people. He's coming for a people. And once our life is over here on this earth, there's no woulda, coulda, shoulda, I hope, I'm going to beg God for mercy. No. The time that you are to do that is now. That when you stand before Jesus, there is no more begging. The time for begging and mercy is now.
Sorry.
The time to receive forgiveness is now. The time to turn away from sin and to live a holy, separate, godly life for Jesus is now, because today is the day of salvation. Mm-hmm. So we want to encourage you, get ready, help others get ready, because Jesus is coming the day the Lord returns. We'll be right back. If you're a believer today and you're saying, you know, I hear you, I've accepted the Lord in my heart, but there's something in my heart. I want to do something for God. You know what? Maybe VFNU is for you. It's time to be prepared. It's time. Listen, we're believing for a third great awakening. We're believing for the glory of God. We need God more than ever in our nation. Right. We need God more than ever in the church. And let me tell you, if you're tired of sitting, you know, you want to get in the game. Mm-hmm. You know, so you're tired of sitting, you want to get in the game. You want to do something for God. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, I invite you, VFNU. VFNU, Vine Fellowship Network University, .org, and explore the opportunity of being on the front lines. Listen, it's not as hard as what religions made it out to be. We're all called to the ministry of reconciliation, right? Reconciling the world to God. Mm-hmm. But you know what? We need to be trained up and taught. Right. And it's not just a university. VFNU is not just a university where you just get filled with all types of, you know, theological reference. Listen, this is just anointed God. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's just anointed God preparing you with anointed teachings as well as practical wisdom and all focused on the original intent of the church and Jesus Christ.
That's right.
He's enough.
That's right.
Listen, God has a destiny and a purpose for your life. Discover it. Ask him. He'll reveal it to you and show you what he has in store for you. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me in the extra hour is Pat and Chris. And we just finished talking about how Jesus is coming and how we need to be ready.
Yeah.
These are exciting days to be living for the Lord, I'm going to tell you.
It is. Amazing.
Absolutely. Well, Pat and Chris, it's time for the VFN Torch Top 3. You know, we have 1,000 highlights. Top 3 for today. And I want to share the first one is gossip like choice morsels. In this moment of wisdom, it's found in Proverbs 18:8. The Word of God says that the words of a gossip are like choice morsels, and they go down to a man's inmost parts. And, you know, gossip is something that you would say behind someone's back that you would not necessarily say to their face. And that flattery is something that you would say to someone's face that you won't say behind somebody's back.
Right.
Okay. Now, if you let someone speak gossip into your ears and flattery to our, you know, flattery as well, this stuff is going to go down on the inside of us. You know, it's going to go down on the, you know, inside of us. And you're going to have to contend with whatever it is that someone is gossiping in your ears. Now, oftentimes, I think people think that gossip, they're very light about it. Oh, not that big of a deal. They're kind of loose with it. But you know what you don't realize is that when someone deposits that gossip on the inside of you, it goes down on the inside, and you're going to have to do something with it. And what you're going to be forced to do with it is continue to share it and pass it along. Mm-hmm. And how you can avoid that is by stopping that. First of all, you don't gossip. And secondly, don't allow others to gossip in your ears. And so you need to really be, because what, and it also does, it separates you from another person, and it causes you to formulate a judgment that we have no place to judge or formulate. So this is an excellent segment. You can find it on the Torch. Of course, just type in the word gossip. The second one we want to share is Journey Back. Journey Back. And this is when we talk about when God's people begin to cry out. That's when God responds. But we got to do the crying out, right? If my people call by my name, right? And we share how Moses was used mightily and provided a way for his people, right? God used him to provide a way that the people of God were not going to be affected by the plague. But what did they do? They cried out to God. Listen, if you haven't listened to God Does Speak, you want to go to VFNTV.com and listen to God Does Speak. God is preparing his people, but we must cry out and turn to him and journey back so that we can be safe and not, you know, experience what's coming on the land. And the last one I want to share with you, that it's not a political problem, it's a church problem. And it's so important because as Christians, we need to stop looking that it's the government's fault,
right,
if we're not looking to change ourselves. A healthy America is a byproduct of a healthy church, and it's important for the church to get right, to be right with God, so that America can be right.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.